Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Sounds so epic, doesn't it? Oh my goodness. Good morning, Canvas Church. Good morning. I'm excited to be with you this morning. My name is Pastor Katie. Those of you that haven't heard me preach in a while, that's because I've been very involved with the children's ministry and our Canvas Kids ministry. Do I have any junior hires that need to exit? Yes, bless you. Goodbye, middle schoolers. Head out, have fun in your class, have a great time. Do I have any of my kids' team here this morning? Come on, shoot your hand up in the air. Come on, give them a hand. Give them a hand. Come on, a lot of Sunday mornings I'm in classes with them or out making sure that they've got everything that they need. And so it's been a little while since I've preached, and so I am excited to do so as we continue our series of covenants. So we're going to dive right in. So if you've got your Bibles, you've got your apps, go ahead and open up your app, and you can go to the notes section there. And we're going to continue our series of covenants. It has been so good. And why have we been studying and looking at the seven major covenants of the Bible? The reason why is because when we study covenants, we have a greater understanding of Scripture and also a greater understanding of the heart of God for us, for you and for me. And so looking at the different covenants are just doing that. It's helping us to understand the Bible and how it connects all the way from Genesis all the way through to Revelations and the love that God has for his people. So let's take a look in our notes. What is a covenant? We're going to do a little bit of quick review. What is a covenant? A covenant signifies a mutual understanding between two parties or two or more parties, each binding themselves to fulfill specified obligations. So it's an agreement between two or more parties binding themselves, have chosen to bind themselves to fulfill specified obligations. And we've been going over the different aspects of covenants. And so if you haven't caught our previous messages on covenants, I encourage you to go to our app and you can get caught up on the ones that we have covered thus far. But we've talked about how there are three things that make up a covenant. Number one is the terms. Number two is the blood sacrifice. And number three being the seal of the covenant. So you've got blanks in your notes there, terms, the blood sacrifice, and the seal. And we've realized that there are many different covenants in the Bible, and the reason why there are so many is because God loves us that much. He desires to be in relationship with us. He wants to be in covenant relationship, and so when he offers covenant relationship to his people and they enter into it with him, but they break that covenant, he, in his love, in his mercy, comes back and says, hey, I've got another covenant for you. And he offers a new one and says, come and be in a relationship with me. So we see the seven different covenants. And today we're going to land on the covenant that God made with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. And so we're just going to throw a few notes on the screen here for you that you can jot down real quickly. And then we're going to jump into a few passages of Scripture. So as we're going there, you could turn in your Bible to Exodus 4, and then we're also going to go to Genesis chapter 17. But the Abrahamic covenant, we see many, many blessings, promises of blessings that God just wants to shower down upon Abraham and Abraham's descendants that would come after him. And the terms of the Abrahamic covenant are faith and obedience. The blood of the covenant made with Abraham is progressively revealed, and is revealed through the bread and the wine, through the animal sacrifice, and through the sacrifice of Isaac. Okay, and the seal of the Abrahamic covenant is circumcision. Now, I just whizzed through a whole bunch there that has a whole lot of scriptures that give greater light into all of those. And so if you're like, I want more about all of that you just said, text the word leader to our Canvas number, and you can sign up for the Canvas Leadership Track. One of our first courses that we're going to cover is covenants, because on a Sunday morning, we don't have nearly enough time to dive into all the details of this covenant. But what we're going to do this morning is we're going to take a look at the seal of the covenant. the seal of the Abrahamic covenant being circumcision, and some of the men are looking for the door. It's okay, just bear with me. There's more to this for those of us that are under the new covenant. We're new covenant believers, followers of Jesus Christ, so just hang on with me, all right? But the Abrahamic covenant is a covenant that God made with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the nation of Israel. So God makes the covenant with Abraham. He gives the oath of the covenant to Abraham's son Isaac. It's confirmed with Jacob and then also with the nation of Israel. And so as we look at the Abrahamic covenant, we're gonna first look at Exodus chapter 4, okay? And some of you are like, hold on, Pastor Katie, this is after Abraham. Like, we know it's been a while since you've preached. Maybe you got the wrong book of the Bible. No, we are going to Exodus, all right? And we're going to take a look at a man here named Moses. And it's going to tie back in, and we're going to see how it does. So Exodus chapter 4, and in verse 18, if we fast forward through a bunch of scripture, we see that Moses has had an incredible, miraculous encounter. There's this bush that's burning, and then it starts talking to him, and he's like, whoa, I should check this out. And he stops, and he begins to converse. And it's God speaking to him, calling him to go back to Egypt and deliver God's people out of Egypt, out of slavery. So he has this encounter with God, and God has spoken to him in Midian, told him to go back to Egypt. And in verse 20, we see that Moses took his wife and his sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. So he's going to go back and do what God told him to do. He took the staff of God in his hand to go. And then in verse 21, we see that God gives him some specific instruction. Here's what's going to happen when you go. You're going to talk to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's not going to listen. And there's some things that are going to happen after that. In verse 24, it says, at a lodging place, so they're on their way, they're traveling to go back to Egypt, and at a lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. Do you guys, am I the only one that ever reads the Bible and then all of a sudden I come on verses like this and go, wait, what is happening? What is happening? I don't understand what is happening. This is one of those moments for me when I'm reading. God chooses to reveal himself to Moses, says, you're the one. I'm gonna send you back to Egypt. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to deliver my people. You're going to take them into the promised land. And then Moses is like, okay, God, I'm going to go do what you told me to do. And he's going back to do what he knows right to do because he's following what God told him to do. And then God wants to kill him. Verse 25, but Zipporah, who is Moses' wife, took a flint knife, cut off her son's foreskin, and touched Moses' feet with it. Yeah. Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me, she said. So the Lord let him alone. All that time she said bridegroom of blood, referring to circumcision. Okay, so here's what's happening. Is Moses is not in covenant relationship with God according to the Abrahamic covenant, because God looked down in this moment as they're traveling along with his wife, with his sons, and he's going to do what God asked him to do. God looks down and he doesn't see the mark. He doesn't see the seal of circumcision on his son. Therefore, he is going to cut off Moses from his people. Let's get a little more context, all right? Let's go to Genesis 17, all right? Genesis 17, we're gonna get into this a little bit more. Genesis 17, verse 1. So Genesis 17, verse 1 says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Verse 3, Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you and kings will come of you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant. Come on, everybody said amen. Come on, that means that's for us. Amen. Between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And again, we say amen to that. Verse 9, then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant between a covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, for those who are in your offspring, all those in your household. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So when God looked down at Moses and his sons and he saw that there wasn't the mark of circumcision on his son, he said, you are not in covenant relationship with me according to the Abrahamic covenant. Therefore, you are to be cut off. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. God, help us, God, to understand, Lord, what this means for us today. God, we come and we open up our hearts. Lord, we want to hear from you. God, we want to receive what you have for us this morning. And so, Lord, help me to communicate all that you've placed on my heart for us today. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. 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 Help her preach on circumcision. Just kidding. Marked. How many of you remember being 18? How many of you are 18 years or older in this place? Okay. How many of you remember that moment? You don't have to raise your hand. That moment when you turned 18, it's like, I can vote and I can get a tattoo, right? Without my parents' permission. Well, I remember when I was about to turn 18 and I had a couple older cousins, and one of them specifically was about 2 years older than me, and he had gotten a tattoo and it was super cool. I loved it. I was like, that is awesome. And my mom was like, uh-uh. I was like, well, I'm going to be 18 soon. And when I'm 18, I don't need your permission. I can just go get my tattoo. Yeah. I didn't know Jesus, okay? So give me grace. But anyways, I was literally like, okay, 18, August 22nd is done. Appointments made. I'm walking in. I go into the tattoo parlor, and I come up, and they're like, hi, how can we help you? And I'm like, well, I'm here for a tattoo. I mean, what else am I going to be here for? And so they said, great, do you have a design in mind, you know, something that you're looking to get? And I'm like, I don't know. I just turned 18. I want to get a tattoo. And so they said, okay, well, here's a couple books. So they slide a few books over the counter to me, and they say, take a look. And so I start thumbing through them, and I'm looking through the different books, and I'm like, I'm not getting that one. Oh, my goodness. Mom, nah, I don't think I want to get mom. So I'm looking at these tattoos, and I get to this one page that has kind of like Native American kind of feel to it. And I was like, oh, kind of like that. I'm Native American, so maybe we'll kind of go with that sort of flow. And then I saw a dolphin, and it wasn't like a cartoon dolphin. It was just like, I thought it was pretty neat. And I was like, you know, I'll do that one. Let's do that one. And they're like, all right, let's do that. So I get up there, and after the excruciating tattooing of my ankle bone, I walked out of the tattoo parlor marked by the dolphin. And I still have it, because I'm not willing to pay the hundreds of dollars to take it off, so I've still got it right there. It's green now. It's not really black anymore. It's kind of green. You know, UV rays fades it. I went out of the tattoo parlor marked by the dolphin. And when I say marked by the dolphin, I mean I was marked by the dolphin. Because after that moment of getting my dolphin tattoo, every single holiday that involved the giving of gifts meant I was either getting dolphin earrings, dolphin necklaces, dolphin rings, dolphin anklet, dolphin figurine, dolphin little bobble thing. You know, dolphin stickers. I mean, it was dolphin everything. And because I love my family and I loved my friends so much, I didn't have the heart to say, I don't really like dolphins that much. I don't want to wear them all over my body, you know. But I had been marked. I had been marked by the dolphin. It even went as far as after we were married, we came home from our honeymoon and we were opening up our wedding gifts and we opened up a crystal statue of a dolphin, people. I was marked by the dolphin. So every gift I got on whatever birthday it was, I knew that there was going to be a gift that involved a dolphin. It was going to happen because I was marked. Much like under the Abrahamic covenant, when they were marked by circumcision, when God looked down from heaven and he saw his people and he saw that they were marked, he's like, ah, I want to bless that one. Oh, I'm looking down, I see the mark. I want to provide for that one. Oh, I look down, oh, I'm going to make that one a blessing everywhere they go. And he looks down from heaven and he sees the mark of circumcision on him. He says, you know what? I'm going to bless their home. I'm going to bless everything they put their hands to do. I'm going to bless them because they were marked. Much like I was marked by the dolphin. So when it came time to give the gifts, I was getting the dolphin. When it came time for God to bless his people and fulfill his promises to them, he looked down and saw, ah, yeah, I see the mark. I see the mark. Now, here's what we need to understand. Is this is different than the Noahic covenant we talked about last week. Because Pastor Ben preached about Noahic covenant, and with the Noahic covenant, God chose to be the one to put the sign, the mark in the sky, the rainbow, as the sign that he was going to keep his covenant with his people. It's very different with the Abrahamic covenant. His people were the ones that chose, hey, I'm going to mark myself through circumcision as a sign to God when God looks down that I'm in covenant relationship with him. So it's a little bit different. Now, we bear with me, everybody, because, I mean, we were like, questions are going like crazy in our minds, right? Like, what does this mean for us? Well, first, let's look at what it meant for them. What took place when a family was going to, according to the Abrahamic covenant, circumcise their son on the eighth day, as it says here in Genesis chapter 17. Well, a couple things that happened. First and foremost, the administration of circumcision involved the cutting away of flesh, which obviously involves the shedding of blood. So it involved the cutting away of flesh, the shedding of blood. Let's move on. All right, because I don't want to land there too long. Number two, it also involved the giving of the name to the child, the invocation of the name of the child. So we actually see this in Genesis 17. When God says, I'm going to be in covenant relationship with you, Abraham, and in fact, your name's not going to be Abram, your name's going to be Abraham. We see that there was a name change that happened right there. God gave him the name Abraham as he's making covenant with him. And we see it in Genesis 21, 3 and 4, as Abraham then is going to go and on the eighth day circumcise his son, he gives him the name Isaac. We also see some New Testament examples with John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, and then with Jesus in Luke chapter 2, as on the eighth day he was going to be circumcised, he was given the name Jesus that the angel had given him before he was conceived. So what in the world does this mean for us today? Pastor Katie, you said this is an everlasting covenant, that all of the descendants after Abraham, all of them that were to follow after them, the mark was circumcision. So what does this mean for me today? Let's read Romans so that we can take a breath and relax. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, it says this. It says, a person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. See, back then it was a very natural thing. Now for us as New Testament believers, as followers of Jesus, it's a very spiritual thing. Man, Jesus, it's not about the outward. There are so many passages in the New Testament where Jesus is like, I see the outward, but he gets to the heart every time, doesn't he? He says, no, it's not about don't do this, but it's about, hey, are you even thinking that you want to do that? Let's take it to the heart. Jesus is concerned with the heart. God's concerned about the heart. So for them, it was a very natural and physical outward thing. For us today as believers, it's the circumcision of the heart. And we are marked. When we're marked by a circumcision of the heart. So what happens? What does this involve? Number one, it involves the cutting away of the desires of the flesh. So when does this happen, right? When does this happen? This happens at the moment when you, that moment, remember that moment when you discovered who God was, you discovered what Jesus had done for you, when you discovered that he came down, and God in the flesh came down to earth to die on the cross for our sins so that we might be forgiven, so that we could be in relationship with our Heavenly Father. That moment when you came to realize that and you said, I want that. I want what Jesus did for me. And you bowed your head and you said a prayer and you said, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In that moment, there was a circumcision that happened in your heart, and in that moment the desires of the flesh were cut away, and we're no longer controlled by our fleshly desires, by our feelings, by what we want. Come on, we are now in that moment saying, Jesus, you are Lord and you are Savior over my life. Amen. In that moment it happens. In Colossians 2 verse 11 it says this. It says, in him, who is that referring to? In Jesus, you are also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, right, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. That flesh is being put off. We're no longer ruled by the flesh. We are now ruled by the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. So it's putting away of the desires of the flesh and now being ruled by the Spirit of God. Number two, the second thing that happens when we're marked is that there's a name change. Much like the name change that happened for Abraham in this moment when he's coming into covenant relationship with God, much like in that moment when he brought his son into this covenant relationship as well, and he had him circumcised on the eighth day, and he gave him the name Isaac. For us as believers, when we are marked, our name is changed. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God caused the one who didn't know sin to be sin for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been made righteous through him, through his faithfulness, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we are made righteous. So there's a name change that happens. We go from unrighteous to righteous. We go from sinner to saint in this moment. There's a name change that happens. So not only is there a putting away of being ruled by the flesh, but there now is there's a name change. When you're marked, there's a name change, and you're no longer known as sinner. You are now known through the blood of Jesus as saint. Amen? When our names are changed, we now become heirs of Christ, of this covenant of Abraham. Amen? We enter into this, and now God looks down and is like, I'm going to bless my people today. I'm not going to give them a bracelet with a dolphin, but I'm going to go ahead and provide for their every need. Amen. So there's a name change. We become heirs with Christ. We become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it happens instantaneous. It happens in that moment when we surrender to God and he does a heart change in our lives, and we are marked by him. We are marked as his. We are now enter into the family of God. Man, it's such a beautiful thing. I don't know what family you came from. Maybe it's not one that would be, in your eyes, worthy of the blessings that God would bestow upon Abraham and through the Abrahamic covenant. That's okay, because the moment when you receive Christ, you come into the family of God. You come under, man. Yeah, there's a name change that happens, and you are now seen through those eyes and through that relationship, as we are now heirs with Christ. I remember when I came to the Lord, and I was not serving Jesus when I first met Pastor Ben. I was really, really far from God and bound up in addiction and bound up in a lot of brokenness and pain. And I'll never forget the moment when I accepted Jesus into my life. I'll never forget that moment. I had gone to church several times. Him and all of the friends had invited us. And I'd gone to church and I'd heard about the Bible, and I'd heard about Jesus for the first time. You got to understand, I had never walked into a church before in my life. I had never heard about who Jesus was. So to me, he was the little baby in the manger at Christmas time. Like, that's who I knew Jesus as. And so when I came to know who God was and what Jesus had done for me, it just broke me. I knew that I needed him in my life. And I remember saying a prayer one evening at a friend's house, and I prayed that prayer, and I asked Jesus to come into my life and to forgive me for all of my sins. And in that moment, it was immediate. It was immediate. I knew whose I was. I knew that I was accepted. I knew that I belonged. I knew that I was loved. I knew that God didn't look down from heaven and see a girl that was in sin, a girl that was broken, a girl that was bound up. I knew that God looked down from heaven and he saw me through the blood of Jesus. He saw his child that he loved and that he died for. It was an incredible moment. And that's what happens when we receive Jesus in our lives. God sees in that moment that we are marked. So we see that there's a removing of the desires of the flesh, there's a name change that happens, and then there's a walking in the nature of the Lord Jesus. When we are marked, we begin to walk differently. When we're marked, we begin to it's seen on the outward. Though for us as believers, it's an inward thing. It's a thing that happens in our heart by the Holy Spirit in that moment of surrendering to Christ. It's very inward, but it begins to change our outward actions, doesn't it? It begins to change the way that we walk. It begins to change the way that we speak. It begins to change the way that we encounter challenges and difficulty in our lives. We begin to walk according to a new nature. We're not ruled by the desires of the flesh anymore and what our flesh wants us to do, but we're now ruled by the Spirit of God in that moment. In Acts chapter 4, there's a passage with some of the disciples, and it's with specifically Peter and John, and they had gone before some people, and these people had seen them and observed them, and in Acts chapter 4, it says that they looked at and they saw Peter and they saw John, and they saw this courage that they had, and they saw that they were uneducated, and it says that they were ordinary men. So they saw these guys are just uneducated, ordinary, run-of-the-mill guys, nothing special about them. But the scripture says, but they made note that they had been with Jesus, because there was something that they saw. There's something about their life. There's something about the courage that they had. There was something about the faith that they had that they looked at that and they said, they must have been with Jesus. They made note that they had been with Jesus. You know, there's the same guy, Peter, earlier on in the scriptures, when Jesus is arrested and he's led away and all the disciples run for fear and they're scattering. And here's Peter, and he's kind of at a distance, kind of trying to follow and figure out what's going to happen to Jesus, and he's hiding for fear of his own life. There's some people that saw him were like, I'm pretty sure you look like one of the followers of Jesus. There was something about him that set him apart, that marked him as a follower of Christ. And it happened three different times where he denied it. He's like, no, don't take me. I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to go get beaten. I'm not with him. And again, some other people, there's something about you. Aren't you one of the followers of Jesus? Why? Because there was something about, he was marked because he had been with Jesus. because he had been with Jesus, because there was a circumcision of the heart that had taken place. He wasn't a man that was ruled by the flesh, but he was ruled by the Spirit of God. How do we know when we're marked? How do you and I know that we've been marked and that we're in this covenant relationship, in this everlasting covenant, this Abrahamic covenant? How do we know? How do we know? Does it mean that we live perfectly, that we never, ever sin and ever make a mistake? Is that how we know that we're marked? I hope not, because then I don't know that I could say that I'd be a part of it. No, it's not that. It's not that we live perfectly. It's that in the moments when we are confronted with the truth, in the moments when we feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit that we've done something, that we've sinned, we've done something that was wrong according to the scriptures and in the eyes of God, something that would separate us from our Heavenly Father, when the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes that, no, 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 son, daughter, that's not the way I've called you to live. In that moment, we know we're marked if we bow down our knees and say, God, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I've sinned against you. God, forgive me for that sin. And we turn away from it and we turn to God. If we're not marked, then we just continue doing it. If we're not marked and we're confronted with truth, maybe it's on a, you know, maybe we're at home and it's on a Wednesday and we're reading our Bible and we get to a passage and it says drunkenness is sin. We're like, huh, Friday night? Saturday night? Huh. And instead of responding in a way that says, God, forgive me. Lord, I repent. God, forgive me for that. I realize now, Lord, that that's a sin. And we turn from it. We choose not to go there any longer. Instead, if we're not marked, we just keep going down that road. Even after we've been confronted with truth. Even after maybe, you know, you're going to school and you're hanging out with your friends and there's some gossip happening about so-and-so. Oh my gosh, do you believe what so-and-so did during the summer? And blah, 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 blah. And then we go to church and pastor preaches about how gossip is a sin. In that moment, you know that you're marked when you're grieved. When you're grieved and you realize, God, forgive me. I have sinned against you. And God, I want to turn from that. And we choose not to go down that path anymore. That's how you know that you're marked. It's not that we live a perfect life, but we live a life that's in constant pursuit of the one that is perfect. And when you know you're in constant pursuit of the one that is perfect, when you come into challenging moments, you know you're marked. When you get the diagnosis from the doctor that says, no, this is just, you're just gonna have to live like this the rest of your life. And you say, no, 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 I'm not gonna be ruled by a diagnosis from a doctor, but I'm gonna be ruled by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And his word says that he is the great physician and that he is the healer and that he can heal and that he can do miracles. And so I'm gonna choose to believe that. You know you're marked. When you go through trials in life, and the scripture says you're supposed to count it all joy when you go through various trials, knowing that the test of your faith produces patience. Come on, God, help me. God, help me. Instead of getting frustrated and giving up and throwing in the towel and saying, this is stupid. This always happens to me. It's happening again. Look at the bank account. Here we are again. Instead of looking through that lens, instead, you know you're marked when you come up against a challenge. You say, okay, God, it's another chance for you to show your faithfulness. God, it's another chance for you to come through. You know you're marked when you choose to follow after him rather than believing those reports and following after the desires of the flesh. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for the scriptures today, God, that show us the Abrahamic covenant. There's so many scriptures, Lord, that show the blessings that you want to shower down upon your people through that covenant. And God, we thank you that you made it as an everlasting covenant. And God, we thank you that we get to be a part of it. In that moment when we surrender to you and our hearts are circumcised and we're marked by you, that God, your blessings come down. Lord, we thank you for that today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.